It's Morning Edition on 90.1 WABE. Great to have you along. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Monday morning, the gavel will fall at the state capitol and the race to pass new bills will be on. What our lawmakers do under the Gold Dome affects everybody in Georgia. And watching it all for us this session, WABE reporters Johnny Kaufman and LEU, they are with us now. Morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with really, I think, the biggest topic of discussion throughout the last few months, ever since the last session ended, really. Whether the legislature, because of pressures on hospitals and healthcare providers, is going to take up the idea of Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act, which President-elect Trump has decided he's going to scrap anyway. Johnny, do we have time for lawmakers to wait until they find out what the president-elect will do?
Well, that depends on who you ask. There are more than a million uninsured people in Georgia, and they will remain uninsured until the federal government or the state government does anything. But when it comes to expanding Medicaid here, we've heard pretty clearly from Republicans that they want to wait to do that and not do it, potentially, depending on what happens at the federal level.
But in the meantime, the reason for expanding Medicaid in the first place was it draws down federal dollars, and healthcare providers are saying, we're in trouble. So isn't there a crunch here, even as we wait to see what the administration will do at the federal level?
Right. And that's what Democrats have been arguing, that they need to expand Medicaid now, despite whatever happens at the federal level. House Minority Leader Stacey Abrams has pledged that she'll fight to expand Medicaid, that the state can't just wait and see that there are struggling rural hospitals, that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Georgians still fall under the coverage gap, meaning they don't qualify for Medicaid, but they also don't qualify for tax subsidies under the healthcare marketplace. But Republicans are still saying that they're going to wait and see. I mean, instead, they are going to create what they call a repeal and replace task force in the Senate to be ready for any changes that might come down from Washington, D.C.
To basically formally wait and see.
Correct.
Will there be pressure, though, on them, not just from Democrats who, let's face it, don't have the votes, but from business folks, from rural constituencies who are watching their hospitals struggle?
Rural hospitals, you mentioned, they've been really struggling over the last several years. Many serve poor or uninsured patients, they say, many, meaning they don't often get paid for their care. Expanding Medicaid would have given insurance to more people, meaning that these hospitals possibly would have gotten paid for the care that they're given. And at least five hospitals have been forced to close their doors since 2013. So it's crunch time for many rural hospitals. In the meantime, some state lawmakers last year, they passed a bill that would give an incentive for businesses and individuals to donate money to these rural hospitals so that they can claim a tax credit. Critics say that's not enough, that's just a Band-Aid on a very, very big wound.
And I would add that, you know, a lot of things determined in the state legislature are influenced by businesses, right? And in these rural areas, local governments and local businesses, chambers of commerce are concerned that if they don't have a good hospital there, not only do these provide a lot of jobs and economic stimulus for the areas, but also new businesses won't want to move somewhere where there's not somebody who can care for their employees.
On that subject, closer to Atlanta, there's a different kind of fight. More hospitals wanting to move in. Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a big for-profit cancer treatment hospital chain, is trying to change what's called the Certificate of Need. It's a very technical thing, but you have to have it if you want to build a hospital here. And part of the idea is you don't want to have too many hospitals in one place for the population that's there. This will be a big fight. They weren't able to modify the Certificate of Need requirement before. But this battle between a lot of the established hospitals and Cancer Treatment Centers of America is going to continue in the session, isn't it?
There's been indication that there will be a fight. There has been a campaign already on television ads and radio ads to try to repeal or to change the Certificate of Need requirement. As you mentioned, that's a requirement that regulates expansions or openings of medical facilities. And you mentioned a big proponent of repealing or changing this requirement is the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which has a facility in Noonan, Georgia.
In short, though, they want to expand to more places, and a lot of the hospitals that we're all familiar with are saying, no, we don't want them there.
Right. It faces opposition from the hospital community, saying they'll lose money from these lucrative insured cancer patients, for example. The Georgia Hospital Association says it supports a certificate of need program, saying it helps control costs to serve these uninsured patients.
So healthcare, one of the big issues to look at. Let's move to another one, of course, education. Johnny, education is the single biggest share of the state budget. There's been talk for years about changing the funding formula by which the state sends money to local schools. Is that actually going to happen after many, many years?
Well, Dennis, you've seen in your time how difficult these education battles can be. But Governor Deal says, you know, this is his top priority for this session, and we'll hear more about that probably next week. You know, he said since he was reelected in 2014 that this is what he really wanted to do. I think there's kind of two areas where the reform's likely to come or could potentially come. One is in the way that schools are funded around the state. And the other is sort of the governance of these schools that are deemed failing by the state.
Yeah. What happens now that his quote-unquote school takeover plan was defeated at the polls in November?
Right. We don't know the details of that. And I think the governor's office will roll these out coming up here. But one proposal that's been put out there is that maybe students in these failing schools should be able to transfer to other schools. But the issue is so complicated because, you know, the needs of a school here in Atlanta that's failing versus the needs of a school in a rural area. I mean, if you're in a rural area, where are you going to transfer to? You're going to have to drive a really long way. And so those are the kind of battles we're likely to see between Republicans and Democrats in all different areas of the state.
And on the money side, the local schools have said ever since the old formula was introduced back in the 80s that it's never been fully funded anyway. They're saying, look, we've been shortchanged for decades now.
Right. And the governor's office says, well, we've increased funding year over year. But a lot of that is because just the population has increased and costs have gone up. Now, in terms of the formula, changing that, I think one of the big issues is likely to be how much money do these low-income schools, students where many of this come from families that have low income, how much do we put for wraparound services? These are like, you know, health. You know, if somebody comes in with dirty clothes, do we wash their clothes? Because these are the basic needs that a lot of these students have before they can learn. And so one of the big things that we've already heard a lot of talk about is, well, the proposal is not going to give enough money to those wraparound services. How much do we give to those versus just funding generally?
And meanwhile, there's a big debate about HOPE because college costs keep going up. There's a gap now between what students on HOPE scholarships are getting and what their actual costs are, so there's the risk of losing more of them. This is something Democrats have been harping on for ages, and the Republicans and Democrats got together to help bridge that gap when it came to technical schools. That happened a couple of years ago. But now HOPE is going to be a hot-button issue again.
It will. There was a study that came out last year that was backed by some casino groups, and we'll talk about that in a second, that basically said HOPE would be running at a deficit by 2028. And so what we've heard now is that the possibility of casinos and tax revenue from new casinos, right? We don't have casinos in Georgia right now, could help fill that gap and fund the HOPE scholarship program. But we heard just today from lawmakers and have heard from them in the past, Governor Nathan Deal, that we need to slow down a little bit. You know, there are a lot of casino lobbyists at the state capitol, and it's a really complicated thing. How much money will it actually bring in? Those kind of things are hard to know.
And state Senate leaders today said that they're looking at sort of increasing revenue from the lottery program right now. Perhaps maybe casino gambling may not even be needed is something that they're looking at.
And casino supporters will also have to contend with the fact that they may be able to get an amendment allowing casino gambling in front of the voters, but they will still have to pass a bill with all the mechanics of actually implementing it, and that would have to get past the governor and state legislative leaders. And the governor and the speaker haven't exactly jumped to go behind casinos.
No, they really haven't. And the governor has said he's not for it. There is the possibility that that enabling legislation, like you mentioned, could be on his desk, but he wouldn't sign it and it would become law anyways. But those are the kind of questions that I don't think we're even at this point, because we haven't seen details about how much tax revenue from the casinos would go to HOPE and how the casinos would actually be set up and run around the state.
From education, which is one of the governor's priorities, to another one which has come onto everyone's radar screen more recently, Ellie, and this one is the epidemic of opioid abuse around the state. Governor Deal is just one of the leaders coming up with a package to address that.
Right. And Senator Renee Unterman, who chairs the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, says she's working on her own set of legislative measures to tackle on substance abuse in the state. For one, she wants to actually codify what Governor Nathan Deal recently did. He ordered naloxone. That's a drug that can reverse opioid overdoses.
Yeah, kind of like an emergency fix for people who are in the middle of an overdose.
Right, and for that to be made available over the counter so that people can have easier access to those drugs. She says she's working on legislation to make that order permanent, basically put it into law. She's also wanting to track how much prescription drugs are being administered in certain areas of the state. She wants to work with the Georgia Prescription Drug Monitoring Program to track the number of opioids that are being administered to patients. She says that would help the state sort of map about where this, quote, hot spots might be in addictions or abuses, so that when a doctor does write a prescription, the state can know how much and when.
One of the things, though, that you run into is, of course, opioid addiction costs the state tremendous amounts of money. But setting up any kind of state treatment program or state help for treatment centers would be hugely expensive, too. We have a major problem here.
Mm-hmm. She has also mentioned she's working on an omnibus bill to help people with restorative treatment programs as well. So it seems like there will be a series of legislative measures that will be coming down this session.
And then there are the hot button issues that we've heard about before that may make a comeback. Johnny, religious freedom bills, those have failed the past 2 years, but backers are not giving up on them, are they?
They're not. State Senator Josh McCoon has indicated that he would like to bring back a state version of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Still, critics of that say that it would open the door to discrimination. And legislative leaders, House Speaker David Ralston, even Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle, don't seem very excited about going through this fight again during this legislative session, and especially with Governor Deal having already vetoed a measure.
House Speaker Ralston has also pointed to Georgia not following perhaps what happened in North Carolina with
House
Bill 2.
That was a bathroom bill, which was a very distinct kind of thing, specifically saying people have to use the bathrooms that correspond to their gender at birth.
Right. You know, that was not the type of bill that Georgia legislators passed last year and was vetoed by Governor Nathan Deal.
And you don't think it'll come up here?
Republican leaders have said that it's not really a priority for them this year.
Another bill that Governor Deal vetoed last year was the campus carry bill, and this one may be open to more of a rewrite. There seems to be a lot of talk that maybe something can be crafted this time, Johnny, that the governor would sign regarding where people with concealed weapon permits could carry their weapons on college campuses.
Right. So after the legislature passed the campus carry bill last year, Governor Deal said, oh, I have these concerns about daycares, disciplinary hearings, administrative buildings. The legislature decided not to change the measure, and Governor Deal ultimately vetoed.
He said it was too sweeping.
Yes, he did. And he then went on to make further objections based on constitutional arguments, and he mentioned the founding fathers and this kind of stuff. But Republicans, particularly in the House, House Speaker David Ralston has pushed Second Amendment stuff like this very hard, say they're going to try again with a campus carry measure of some sort. But I think everybody's kind of waiting to see what the details of that are, whether there will be exceptions for different buildings or what it will look like. And I think even though Governor Deal did veto this measure, he's kind of left the door open for these changes. And we see how deal making works in the legislature. It could be something that in the end gets signed, but it's just hard to say.
And so what we could see is a bill proposed that actually has a kind of list. Here's where on campus people with concealed carry permits could carry their weapons. Here's where they couldn't, which could make it interesting if you're going from one place to another.
Right. And that's the concern that Second Amendment proponents have, people who want gun rights to be expanded in the state. Speaker Ralston said to me he doesn't want a bill that looks like Swiss cheese with sort of holes in it like that. So I wouldn't expect a bullet point list on the measure. I think they'll try
to
be a little bit more nuanced with the way they craft it.
Another hot button issue making a return, possibly medical marijuana. Alan Peake, the state representative who has championed medical marijuana legislation before, got some of what he wanted. In other words, you can use cannabis for certain conditions, but you can't grow it here and you can't bring it in here, which is kind of a catch-22.
Right. And he's been trying to expand access to medical cannabis for these families who are allowed to use medical cannabis in the state, but if they bring it from another state or are crossing it over state lines, are violating federal laws. He's been pushing a plan since last year to allow for in-state growth of medical cannabis. That didn't get anywhere last year. And then he's also tried to expand the list of medical conditions that would be treatable under medical cannabis. That also failed last year. His new plan this year is to put the question of growing cannabis in-state in Georgia to voters on a referendum in 2018.
Lawmakers have in the past said, oh, okay, when it comes to taxes, let's not vote on it ourselves. Let's put it before the voters. Does it seem that they might be willing to put this one before the voters instead of dealing with it directly themselves?
Well, State Representative Peake has had a lot of support from his colleagues in the House, you know, who've said Georgia has created this law to allow cannabis oil, so we need to fulfill those promises to allow people to actually get access to cannabis oil. But Peake admits it might be an uphill battle. He's tried last year. The bill failed in the Senate. His bill has faced a lot of opposition from the law enforcement community who say growing cannabis in state could be a slippery slope. So he's faced a lot of opposition, and it might get more opposition in the Senate. On Thursday, Senate President Casey Cagle said he'd consider limiting expansion of the medical marijuana law if perhaps the THC levels were lower or limited.
And there's another issue that's been fought for many years that may come back, immigration. Ellie, there was a court ruling just recently that said the state has to grant in-state tuition for students who have special permission to stay here, even though they came here illegally as children. And there are rumors that there's going to be a lot more immigration-related legislation coming up this year.
Mm-hmm. And on the in-state tuition issue, you already have State Senator Josh McCoon, who's been a vocal opponent of illegal immigration, saying that he wants to put the in-state tuition issue to rest. He's going to introduce legislation that requires these students who have temporary protection from deportation to have what's called legal status. That's something they don't have. They only have lawful presence. And they've been arguing that because they have lawful presence, they can get in-state tuition. Senator Josh McCoon says changing the law to legal status will make those lawsuits go away.
Will it, though, or will it just trigger another round of lawsuits should it pass and the governor sign it?
That's a good question. I mean, that's his take on what he thinks the legislation will do. We'll have to see what goes from there or if it passes. On other immigration-related issues, also regarding students and campuses, there's been a lot of talk about so-called sanctuary cities. Well, there's been a lot of talk about also so-called sanctuary campuses. Now, Georgia already has a law on the books that bans sanctuary cities. These are, you know, cities or jurisdictions that basically limit their cooperation with federal immigration agents. But the most recent fight has been over sanctuary campuses. Emory students and faculty recently petitioned to their administration to protect undocumented students on their campus, which prompted a lot of lawmakers to try to do something about it. State Representative Earl Earhart, in response, says he's looking at measures to hold state funding to even private universities that he says don't follow the law. While schools like Emory are private, there are tuition assistance programs that they get money from, for example. Meanwhile, I should mention that Emory says it will follow all state and federal laws.
And finally, an issue that Governor Deal has spent a lot of time on throughout his term in office, Ellie, criminal justice reform. He really started the first steps with juvenile justice reform, then moved toward criminal justice reform in the adult system. Are we going to see more of these steps this year?
This has been an important issue for Governor Nathan Deal, and he only has two legislative sessions left as governor. Last year, he also passed a wide-ranging bill tackling school discipline or the school-to-prison pipeline, creating more education programs in prison. So this is something it's likely that the governor will continue. He has talked about law enforcement reform, however, police reform. Law enforcement obviously has been a huge topic in the news over the last year. He's promised a 20% pay raise for Georgia state officers. That will have to be approved by the legislature first. But he's also looking at overhauling perhaps police training and to improve community relations with the police. He's put together a law enforcement task force to review police training standards in the state. All officers have to go through a peace officer standing and training course to become an officer. And there's been talk about adding more hours to crisis intervention programs, for example, or use of force trainings as well in that program.
And any and all of these seemingly separate issues could be combined in the final few days when the deals get made. And that's when things really get interesting, yes?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen in the past few years some of the biggest and most controversial pieces of legislation come down in the last few days of the session. Lawmakers regularly complain that they don't have enough time to read the measures before they vote on them. They still vote on them. Yeah, I mean, definitely, we're talking about all this stuff now, but we don't know what will happen, you know, in the next few months within the state of Georgia. But also, I mean, the bigger question is, right, what's going to happen at the federal level? What is the new Trump administration going to do, and how will that affect things here?
Overshadowing all of this, of course, the Trump administration and the policies that will come out of that once he's sworn in.
Right, from everything from the Affordable Care Act to immigration to...
What else could be on there? I mean, Second Amendment. Oh,
environmental issues
with executive actions that President Obama has taken during his time in office. Those could affect things here as well.
That kind of colors everything as we go into this session.
Yeah, and lawmakers are saying we're going to wait and see what happens at the federal level. So there is the chance that this could be one of a slower session where there's so much uncertainty happening at the federal level. And the thing to remember, too, with that is that, you know, Georgia's state budget is just over like $23 billion, but it also draws down like $20 billion from the federal government. So those are big chunks of money. And if that's adjusted at all, it can really affect how things play out here at the state level.
And the other thing, too, this is an off year when it comes to lawmakers running for reelection. They don't have to go before the voters in November, most of them anyway. So they may, on the one hand, introduce a lot of controversial things that they hope maybe voters won't remember next year. Or on the other hand, they could just sit and wait and say, oh, I'm going to do my high-profile stuff next year. Could work either way.
Definitely. One thing, though, that we might see play out a little bit politically this session already is the 2018 governor's race. There are a number of folks who we hear reports that they're either contemplating a run for governor or maybe contemplating a run for a statewide office. And so they might make some decisions in terms of what legislation to push or what to make a priority based on that.
And plus, there's also the open U.S. congressional seat that Tom Price has left empty since he's been appointed the Health and Human Services Secretary. So we'll have to see how that plays out as well.
Yeah, there are a number of state senators and state representatives who are, you know, whose names have been floated as potentially running for that seat. The confirmation will probably happen in the midst of the legislative session. That'll trigger all sorts of things, and it could create a complete mess of the session, but hopefully it's not too bad.
WABE's Johnny Kaufman and LEU, thanks to both of you, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you throughout the session from the Capitol. We appreciate it.
Thanks,
Dennis.